A big policy change came down from the White House this week. Victims of domestic violence and gang violence will no longer be eligible for asylum here in the United States. Attorney General Jeff Sessions made the announcement on Monday.
The asylum system is being abused to the detriment of the rule of law, sound public policy, and to the detriment of people with just claims to asylum.
Meanwhile, hundreds of asylum seekers are currently detained at a federal detention center in SeaTac. Many of them are women from Central America who've been separated from their children by the U.S. government. Beth Farmer is a director of Refugees Northwest, where she works with asylum seekers who've suffered trauma. She spoke with KUOW's Kim Malcolm about some of the reasons they're afraid to return home. And a warning, this interview contains some graphic descriptions.
Given that Central America's in our own backyard, we often don't think of it as being like a war zone. We don't hear stories about the war in Central America, but for people who live there, it is like a war zone. And some of the stories that we hear from asylum seekers from Central America rival stories we hear from Afghanistan. We hear of people being decapitated, people being hung from bridges and lampposts as warnings to other people. We have had people, family members report another family member being dismembered in front of them as a warning to the family. Certainly a tremendous amount of murder, sexual assault, especially for young boys being forced to be in the gangs, being forcibly branded to be in the gang. So all sorts of incredibly traumatic, incredibly violent experiences.
So when you meet these folks in the detention center, what is their mindset?
For most of the people that we meet, they're incredibly afraid about what will happen to them. They don't know if they can stay, and they do know if they return home, they'll be killed. So they're incredibly fearful. Oftentimes, they also have other family members that are in hiding or in great danger as well, and they're really worried about their family members. And many times they can't be in touch with them because being in touch with them will let either narco traffickers, gang members, militia members also know where they are. So there's this terrible forced separation from your support system. There's fear for their lives. And then there's this deep uncertainty and fear for your own life.
And now there's this new question about them being separated from their children.
Right.
What impact does that have?
Well, I think that anybody who's been a parent can imagine what it would be like to have your child ripped from your arms, taken forcibly away from you, especially after having come through such traumatic circumstances and such a long and traumatic journey. And then to, in many cases, not even know where they are and how they are and who's caring for them and how they're caring for them. These mothers and fathers can't really even think about anything except where is my child? How is my child? When can I talk to my child? When can I be reunited with my child?
Based on your experience, do you believe that many of the people who are being detained in SeaTac now will be granted asylum?
I think it's hard to say. The asylum process is incredibly arbitrary, and there's tremendous differences between who hears your case, which judge. You can have the same case and same issues, and if you're being heard in Atlanta versus being in New York, you may have a very different outcome. It's incredibly arbitrary. But I certainly think with the decision this week by the Attorney General Sessions, it is going to be much harder for them.
Well, speaking of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, he has said that trying to escape domestic violence and trying to escape gang violence, no matter how widespread it is, it does not make you eligible for asylum. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely not. Many of these folks from Central America exist in countries where there is very little rule of law and where police and other government officials also collude with the gangs and the narco traffickers. The stories that we hear of people who have reported gang violence only to find out that the police member they reported to was in the gang, or the women who have been beaten to where they're in the hospital, bones broken, acid thrown on them, to make a report to the police only to have the police scold them and tell them that they should be a better wife. And in some cases that I've worked with, driven them home and returned them to their husbands. So in these cases, there is no rule of law to protect them. There is no safety in these countries in which they can pursue.
The Trump administration claims that many asylum seekers are attempting to game the system, quote unquote, that they're using claims of domestic violence, these claims of gang violence, and that can happen, right?
I suppose that it can happen. I have not come across people in my line of work that are doing this to game the system. Instead, I've come across people who have borrowed incredible amounts of money, whose families have sold their homes, all their belongings, who have then gone on journeys that sometimes last up to a year, where they have been beaten, where they have been robbed, who have presented themselves at the border and stayed in detention for up to a year just for the hope that they can stay safe. And it's hard for me to imagine that people would endure that type of fear and violence if they weren't fleeing from something worse.
Beth Farmer is the director of Refugees Northwest. Beth, thank you for giving us the time today.
Thank you.